Judge Jim's Big Debate on Trax FM.
Yeah, hello there. Good evening, listeners, if you're in the UK. Big news yesterday as the Prime Minister unexpectedly announced a general election in June, what has been classed as a snap general election. And it's been made, the decision and the basis has been made around the UK leaving the European Union. And we've got, with the assistance of the newspapers today, The Guardian and The Times, that will be helping us present today's show about election 2017, only 2 years after the last general election, following what was a neck-to-neck, or the opinion pollsters were saying it was a neck-to-neck, head-to-head, well, and about head-to-head election, which returned David Cameron's Conservative government at the time with something like a 12 majority. Now we've got Theresa May, who's flying ahead in the opinion polls with her Conservative government following the EU referendum last year, something like 22 points ahead, has now decided she wishes to build upon her majority so she can face no compromise in the House of Commons with their with the Conservative government's Brexit deal. Now we'll be trying to have a look at what everything means. We'll be joined later on in the show, but not quite now, by Professor Curtis. He was the pollster that got the exit poll correct at the last general election, and he's got a few things that he wished to say to us live on air, so stay tuned for that. We've got obviously The Guardian, The Times, you out there. We're joined by Babis, David RB, JJ the DJ, and of course myself, The Big Debate here. I'm Judge Jim. You're listening to The Big Debate only on Trax FM. If you've got an opinion, do come in on the chat room and get it known. You can tweet in as well to @thisisjim at Trax FM if you're out and about. We'll play a jingle that gives the relevant Skype address, because I can't bloody remember it right now off the top of my head. But anyway, all this excitement here in the UK started unexpectedly. Now, just to give you a bit of a background story to this, if you've not been following it, and it should be really of interest to you if you're in a European Union country, because my opinion is really that you should be asked whether you think the UK should leave. Where's your referendum? Maybe your country wants to leave the EU. We want to hear from you here on Trax FM. Good evening there to DJ Raj. Thanks for joining us. It's we're covering pretty much the announcement yesterday of the May government to hold a snap general election. Now, personally, I thought I'd never see a snap general election in my lifetime. Now, what's been interesting is there's lots of trains of thought behind this, depending what media source you read and where it comes from. So we'll start off, I think, with The Times. Now, this is where alternative media such as ourselves play an absolute important role, I feel, in as much as the mainstream media on it straight away. They're straight away down dialing any sort of chance the Labour Party may have in winning the general election. Now we'll get onto the strategic parts and possibly what others think and all the rest of it, but this is just very clear evidence from how the media operates in the UK. As soon as you turn over the Times newspaper, of course, it's in every paper today. On the front of the Times today is May heads for election landslide. Well, that's not a forgiven just yet. But if the exit polls show what they're showing today, then she could well do. And we've got a lot of fear to be frightened of, believe me. Now, this is how the down dialing has started, in trying to discredit the Labour Party and their leaders. This is a tweet from David Cameron. Brave and right decision by PM at Theresa May. My very best wishes to all Conservative candidates. Now, this has all been done as well amongst whilst the police are considering prosecuting Conservative MPs for election spending. Also got a tweet here from the UKIP leader. We welcome the general election, but make no mistake, it was driven by Labour's obvious weakness, not the good of the country. That's Paul Nuttall from UKIP. One of the most extraordinary U-turns in recent political history, and it shows that Theresa May is once again putting the interests of her party ahead of those of the country. That's from Nicola Sturgeon. That's a quote from her, the Scottish First Minister. And this is from Donald Tusk, the European Council President. He says, it was Hitchcock who directed Brexit. First an earthquake and the tension rises. And the last of all is Sir Malcolm Rifkind, who, by the way, listeners, was pulled before a Commons Select Committee on Intelligence and was discredited before that said committee. They're going, along with Jack Straw as well, I might add, they're going to be slaughtered. I think it's going to be like Michael Foot, except worse. And that's in reference to the Labour Party. So you see the down dialing with these keynote speakers have been pulled and wheeled out of the closet to say their bit, and the interference starts. Now, of course, there are some that say all of this is indeed a gamble. But before I get onto that bit, I believe I've got some questions to take in. Let's have the questions then.
Yeah, I do apologise. My mic weren't working, but my mic sounds nice. Judge, there's a few political commentators. Don't get me wrong, because they didn't know about yesterday's snap election announcement yesterday either. But some are saying that the next general election will be the end of the Labour Party. Middle right broadcasters are actually announcing that. Is there any thought to that, or is that a certain mechanism in the media today? Take it away, Judge.
Well, it's like you've prompted my next subject, really, David, because I'll get back to the process first of all. The coalition government introduced the Fixed Term Act, and what that meant was each parliament would have to go for 5 years before an election can be called. It gives a set date and all the rest of it, unless two thirds of MPs vote to have that election. So here we have the MP. Well, they've done it this afternoon, so that's the election's going to take place. But interestingly, and I'll get to it as well later on in the show, what Labour could have done, they could have plugged that gap and said, no, there's going to be no election. There's going to be no election at all. They could have used the motion laid down by the government today to hold an election to block it and not have that election. The reason why this election is taking place is because the opposition has been effective, and not just effective, it's been effective because of the slim majority. But here's the gamble. Right, this is what the Times is saying, quite unilaterally, I have to say. Now, before I get onto that, I shouldn't get carried away with myself. As we'll see as the show progresses and unlocks, Labour are holding a lot of safe seats at the moment. They what I'm saying is really, in layman's terms, there's a thought process that they cannot do any worse, so they can only improve or stay as they are. The biggest winners and losers could be, that's interesting, I've just seen in the chat room, bets are on for Tories to win over 100 seats at 1 to 16. That is incredible. Of course, those seats may not come from Labour. They may come from the marginal parties like there was one UKIP MP, he's now independent, Nicholas Carshall. They might pick that one up, for example. They may pick up some SNP seats. They may do. I don't think they will, but they may do. It'd be interesting. The ones to watch are the Liberal Democrats, of course. They are wheeling out all their old big guns like Simon Hughes and Vince Cable, and they're all going to stand in Bermondsey and Twickenham respectively. So I think they're quietly confident that they were going to win some seats back, and their manifesto is quite clear. They're completely anti-Brexit, so they're going to pull in a lot of Remain votes. I can't see that Labour's going to do any worse. But I mean, that's what the bookmakers are saying. But let's have a look at the Times analysis today, because the train of thought in the press at the moment is, of course, I better not look at the chat room anymore, get distracted. The train of thought is that what Labour have got to do is mitigate their loss, and try and protect as many seats and pick up as many seats as they can, with a realistic prospect that they won't get elected to government. But anyway, look, listen to this. The Conservative majority of 17 stays the same or increases. The Times would consider that. The Times newspaper don't consider that a failure. Theresa May would have a fresh mandate to deliver Brexit, but her room for parliamentary manoeuvre would remain circumscribed. She would struggle to push through controversial bills on post-Brexit, immigration and customs systems. Some Tory MPs might wonder whether their leader is quite the electoral asset they thought. Okay. If the majority more than doubles to 50, the Times says it's a partial success. Mrs. May could boast a significant personal mandate to deliver her vision of Brexit. She would be liberated from the clutches of hardline Tory backbenches and could demand loyalty from slew of Tory MPs elected in seats David Cameron failed to win back from Labour. If a majority inflates substantially to 100, they're describing it as the sweet pot, but they're saying that they have to be the Midlands and the North that they'd have to capture. If she gets to 150, well, they're claiming that's going to be the icing on the cake. So looking at some of these, gladly David RB's uploaded what the bookmakers say. The Conservatives at the moment are 1 to 25 on favourites. This only applies to parties with the most seats in the next UK general election. So 1 to 25 on firm favourites. Labour are 11 to 1 to securing victory. Liberal Democrats 66 to 1. UKIP 500 to 1. Green Party 500 to 1. Interestingly, the SNP aren't there. That's how the bookmakers see it. Of course, we've got the opinion polls. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to discuss this with my producer David RB. That wonder if we could have maybe on the 8th of June or the 7th. Would it be the 8th of June into the 9th that we can have a half an hour? Maybe we can have an election special live here on air as the results come in. But we'll have to have a chat about that. But the Conservatives are 1 to 25 on, but it's the exit poll. Remember this, people, it's the exit poll that is the one to believe. You could as well, I mean, I haven't read this today, although there's going to be a general election in the early part of the summer, you could consider that there's going to be some midterm blues around that and the gap could narrow, because the benefit of what's going to happen is... the benefit of what's going to happen is that everyone's going to get allotted the same amount of airtime for their election campaign. So we've got some very interesting times ahead. We're 8 weeks, I think, away from the general election. Labour could have blocked it today, but they've said today, bring it on. So we're interesting. I think I can see a lot of chit and chat going on. I said chit in the chat room. I believe I've got another question to take.
Yeah, Judge, I've not seen it. Maybe in the 70s I saw it, being one of the elder statesmen of Trax FM. I saw it in the 70s, 1970, 1974, and then the resignation of Harold Wilson. So I've seen that. Can we be very clear? This snap election that she said wouldn't happen till 2020, she don't do snap elections. I've seen that footage. This is based on Brexit, right? Now, let's be clear on this. If you can concur with me, this is based on Brexit. Are we correct on that?
Yes, they would like it to be based on Brexit. But I think what we've got to do, or what Labour Party's got to do, is shift that debate away from Brexit and start talking about what matters, like job security, young people, social care, the NHS, housing, the things that matter to people. Because if we let this Brexit hijack this election, we're not going to get in on the debate. That, I mean, they've got to steer well away from Brexit, I think. It's the only ticket in town the Conservatives have got, and to be fair, I think, well, not to be fair, it's my opinion, I think it's the only ticket in town the Liberal Democrats have got, and you've got to watch the Liberal Democrats very, very closely, because they will jump into bed with the Conservatives at a drop of a hat. So we've got to be careful. Now, I watched PMQs today, and she is doing everything she can. Well, she just won't do a television live debate because she knows that debating is not her thing. If you look at her Prime Minister's questions, they're quite poor, and I don't think she really performs well under those conditions in comparison to Jeremy Corbyn and the other MPs there, whereas I think David Cameron was competent at doing that. Of course, I think the old favourite was Tony Blair, was the absolute master at it. But certainly she will avoid a television debate. But I think, yeah, right. I think if she gets into trouble in the opinion polls, then she will do a live televised debate, because one thing's for sure, you can't trust this Prime Minister. She said no general election, and then she did an Easter break and thought, I'm going to have a general election. So I believe I've got another question. I've never taken so many questions.
I do apologise, Judge.
No, it's fine.
In regards to the Liberal Democrats, now, from what... Go, Mr. Clegg is putting his name in the hat. The Liberal Democrats' manifesto, from what I understand, want a second referendum on leaving Europe, by all accounts. That's what I'm seeing. They want a second referendum. And I think that could be a huge... well, not huge, I just think that's a killer. That literally takes you out of the race. Did you hear anything about that, Judge?
I have. I don't know if it's in the manifesto just yet, David. But they're urging all parties now. Well, what parties have to do now they're in general election mode is that they have to write their manifestos. So if they're going to call for a second referendum, then they'll have to put that in their manifesto. And if, of course, they get elected, which is highly unlikely, according to our bookmaker friends, then they'd have to put that in place. So it's going to be, if they do put that in their manifesto and they go into coalition with the Conservatives, well, that's going to be very, very interesting, to say the least. Very interesting on how they'd unlock those policies and whatnot. So cool. So that's where we're at. I mean, they're even saying the Conservatives have to put into their manifesto what they want Brexit to look like. So there's clear ground between the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats. I think what Labour's got to do is get in there and start telling people, if you want more of this austerity, then you go and vote for them. If you want that to stop, then come and vote for us. I mean, I will be touching on a few, well, I don't know about a few, there's loads of articles in the papers today, but look, I'm going to have to cut myself short, because Babbitt has posed a very unique question. He's saying, Judge, did Theresa May schedule the general election to distract from the expenses scandal? Well, that's, of course, comes into it, because Dennis Skinner MP posed exactly the same question as to whether she would back those MPs currently under investigation from the police, and she said that she would back every single Conservative MP in the House of Commons. So, yes, you might say that, you know, the sceptic within you might say the election was called for that reason. Well, it's not solely for that reason, but it, it certainly gets entwined into that reason. So hopefully I've answered your question there, Babis. But we've also got analysis here of the speech that she gave yesterday on the announcement. I mean, I think I hadn't been at work long and the announcement was made. Have you got any more questions, David RB, before I get onto this article at all?
No, I do. Look, these questions weren't rehearsed at all. Judge had a preset stuff, and when I'm throwing this stuff at him, he has no idea what I'm going to ask him. Take it away, Judge.
Yes, that's right. It's good training for tomorrow morning. Right, let's have a look. Now, what she said, she came out, this is what the speech actually meant. She said, "I've just chaired a meeting of the Cabinet where we agreed the government should call a general election to be held on June the 8th. Last summer after the country voted to leave the European Union." What she means by that, according to the analysis in the Times today, none of which is likely to last, but better to have an election now, before the economy turns. Britain is due a downturn irrespective of the departure from the EU, and it comes, and it makes sense to capitalise on it before 2020. EU talks or not, will be at a delicate stage, and the economy in a ditch. June realigns the economic and political cycles. All right. It's also saying that in that speech yesterday, she's playing politics. The tone is a belligerent, is precisely the opposite of the truth. Mrs. May is having an election because she feels unassailable. This ending is so feeble because she cannot tell the truth, which is that it is too tempting not to have an election. There are too many good reasons to get on with it, but none of them especially involves the national interests. It's just politics. Now, I mean, calling a snap election like this has been historic. There was two elections in 1974 in this country where the Labour government formed a minority government and limped on, I think it was till October of that year, then got re-elected with a 96 majority or something like that. And then in 1923, Stanley Baldwin called a snap election and lost. So it can go either way. But of course, what's the difference now is that we've also got social media out there reaching to places that would never get reached to before. Now she's this is called Subheading Power of the Mandate. We're still with the speech now, listeners, and we'll hopefully be taking a music break by 7:30. A successful election for Theresa May will, she hopes, kill off two sources of opposition to her plan. The first is the pro-Remain political class, whose ambitions will be stymied by electoral victory. The second is the disgruntled leavers in her own party. When leaving starts to get tricky, she will point to her mandate, and a substantial majority will make her less reliant on her party hardcore EU obsessives. I think they've watered that down a bit. I think she's going for a hard Brexit. Alternatively, if she can't get that hard Brexit from the EU, she's going to do a no deal and turn around and make this make the UK a big tax haven. So there we go. I mean, the last bit to her speech, it says, "A lie wrapped in a lie. This is neatly dressed pretense. The country is not coming together and could carry on perfectly well without a general election. Mrs. May suggests here that it's not reasonable for the opposition to oppose the government. In the statements after the speech, she said the election would strengthen her negotiating hand in Europe, and that point is an odd absentee from the speech." There you go. That's what the speech actually meant. What she's trying to do is achieve the largest majority she could possibly get, and then present Parliament or the House of Commons with what she considers will be her vision, their government's vision of Brexit, at the same time crushing the Labour Party. There'll be some in the Labour Party that will support that crushing, because the Blairites will start moving in on getting a candidate together and making themselves electable and whatnot. But she's also going to try and draw in, and I think she might be successful, is the UKIP voters as well. But look, listeners, I'm going to take a break now, hopefully. I'll hand it over to you, Dave, in London.
Contact Judge Jim's Big Debates live right now on Skype, Tracks Big Debates, Twitter, This is Jim Tracks FM. Email thebigdebate@tracksfm.org. Tracks FM, wicked music and chats for wicked people.
We were staying in Paris to get away from your parents, and I thought, wow, if I could take this in a shot right now, I don't think that we could work this out on a terrace. I don't know if it's fair, but I thought, how could I let you fall by yourself? Well, I'm wasted with someone else. If we go down, then we go down together. They'll say you could do anything. They'll say that I was clever. If we go down, then we go down together. We'll get away with everything. Let's show them we are better. Let's show them we are better. Let's show them we are better. We were staying in Paris to get away from your parents. You look so proud, standing there with a frown and a cigarette, posting pictures of yourself on the internet, out on the terrace. We breathe in the air of this small town on our own, cutting glass with the thrill of it, getting drunk on the past we were living in. If we go down, then we go down together. They'll say you could do anything. They'll say that I was clever. If we go down, then we go down together. We'll get away with everything. Let's show them we are better.
Let's show them we are. Show them we are. Show them we are. Show them we are.
Let's show them we are better. We're staying in Paris. They'll say you could do anything. They'll say that I was clever. If we go down, then we go down together. We'll get away with everything. Let's show them we are better. We were staying in Paris. We were staying in Paris.
Sound like chain smokers. I probably am. You listen to Judge Jim's Big Debate. I'm in heaven because we got a snap election. I've never seen that, and we got Tracks FM on there at the same time. This is heaven to me. Like pig in you know what. Just before Judge moves on, because we've got an interesting clip that we're going to play. Judge, could you let our listeners know, and I've heard this language all day, what on earth is a hard Brexiter?
Well, the deal, a hard Brexit, what would it be? We don't know. So we have to assume, and I think it'd be right to assume, that it could be the worst case scenario for the small person in the street. And for me, and it's only my opinion, I hope I'm bloody wrong with this, I really do. It means that we're certainly untangle from the judicial system. So if there's a human rights breach in the UK, you can't then take it further than the UK's Supreme Court. So you can't go to the ECJ to get it unwrapped, for example. Workers' rights will probably diminish as well, because that's not part of the neoconservative agenda. So that will go, such as things like maybe rights to trade union representation in the workplace, for example, even a minimum or living wage, things like that. So you'll have that. The customs union, where you can go to any European country and bring as much, with exceptions such as the Canary Islands, for example. You can go to any European country and work, and they can come here and work as long as they reach the provisions of the Treaty of Rome. Of course, more about the customs union, moving tobacco, alcohol and goods and services without paying any border duties or customs and excise tax. That would all go. And more importantly for me as an individual, I don't know you people out there, the movement, free movement of people. And I'm not just on about holidays either, or going to move around Europe, but it's so easy, really. You get off the plane or the ferry, you show your passport, you wave through, brilliant. I love it, it's brilliant. You go to the United States, you're queuing. You've got to get your fingerprints taken. You've then got to go and get your passport stamped. Then you get your passport stamped again. You've got to apply for 200 different visas, and this and that. And that's what the UK is going to do, unless they make treaties with other nations. I don't know. So it's very much a don't know situation. But for me, that's the dark Brexit deal that's looming. But of course, I'll just finish with this caveat: you people voted for it out there in the UK, you've got it. Okay, right, we've got a guest on. I'm assuming he's ready. No, it's not Professor Gary Cooper, it's Professor Curtis. Now, he's got some he does not have a political view. He's a man of statistics, a professor of statistics, or a statistician, I think they're called. So if we can bring him on live on air, welcome Professor Curtis. What have you got to tell us about the snap general election and the opinion polls?
There is no doubt that the Conservatives are in a strong position in the opinion polls. If you take the average of the polls done by all the companies recently, the Conservatives are standing at 42%, Labour at 27%, and that clearly would be enough to give Theresa May a quite substantial majority. I think, however, two words of caution are in order. The first is, we do have to bear in mind that it is quite difficult these days for either party to actually win a landslide in the House of Commons, because not only is Northern Ireland now out of the UK-wide political picture, but so also is Scotland. And I would be surprised if the SNP don't hang on to most of the seats north of the border that they won 2 years ago. Secondly, although the Labour Party are in a dire position in the opinion polls, a lot of the seats that they have are safe ones. And the truth is, therefore, if actually the opinion polls were to narrow during the course of this campaign, and I think we should bear in mind in particular, Theresa May is very much now going for a vote Conservative for my vision of Brexit, and that perhaps is going to make some Conservatives what she is hoping for this morning. She's essentially saying the reason why we need to have this referendum is because we need a government that has a clear majority that's committed to the version of Brexit that I want, which of course is a vision that says we're not going to be in the single market, we're probably not going to be in the customs union, and we're going to end our freedom of movement. Now, I think one of the reasons why I think she's hoping that's going to be a successful pitch is that the Labour Party, of course, is rather at sixes and sevens on its stance on Brexit. There are divisions inside the Conservative Party. You'll be to see how they survive a general election. But the truth is, the opposition is probably even more divided on the subject. And she's probably therefore banking that for so long as this remains the central issue, the Labour Party will not be capable of fighting an effective alternative position.
There you have it, Judge. That's this professor is quite pertinent, isn't he, on well, you mentioned exit polls, and certainly I think the last election he's quite pertinent. Take it away, Judge.
Yes indeed, Dave. He's the one that calculated a Conservative clear majority to government. He will be my pundit that I'll be watching come the 8th of June. If he says what he says, I'm going to take him as quite a credible source of media. So, yeah, that's Professor Curtis. I can't remember which university he's from, but he's the exit pollster, and I'd imagine he will be looking at the 8th of June very, very closely. Now, turning back to the Times newspaper here, it says the yellow peril is the force the Tories fear the most. A few weeks ago, Sir Lyndon Crosby slipped directly into number 10. There was only one subject on the agenda for the political strategists' discussion with the Prime Minister's advisers: the pros and cons of calling an early general election. The man known as the Wizard of Oz, who is credited with delivering an overall majority for David Cameron in 2015, highlighted the weakness of Labour's position, but warned that the Liberal Democrats could pose a challenge to some Tory seats, particularly in London and South West England. With Labour trailing 21 points behind the Conservatives in the polls, the yellow peril is being taken more seriously than the red threat in Downing Street. Yes, sir. Professor Curtis of the University of Strathclyde. Right, okay. This, just staying with the Liberal Democrats, this gives you an idea of their membership. They've gained about 60,000 members since the start of 2015. It's quite a lot, so you can't write that off. 45,000 of them since the general election in May of that year now have more than 90,000. After Theresa May's announcement, the tally was going up at 1,000 per hour. In the last quarter of 2016, they raised £2.1 million in donations, compared with about £3.6 million and £3.7 million for the Conservatives and Labour, respectively. A far smaller financial gap than there has traditionally been. So it gives you an idea about the Liberal Democrats. Don't write them off. Watch them very closely. I think they might actually be the people, the party, that stifled Theresa May's government from getting more than 30 MPs elected in the House of Commons. The Times also covers off as well. Damaged UKIP sets its sights on a lower target. And this is interesting. UKIP will focus its resources on fighting five target seats, senior sources said, as the party scales back from its 2015 ambitions. Paul Nuttall, the leader, will seek to field candidates in no more than 500 constituencies, but short of money and ambushed in the midst of an overhaul, UKIP will not be targeting 30 key seats as it did last time. So I think you've probably seen the last of UKIP, and it might go a long way to explaining why a certain person is on air on LBC right now. Now, to give you an idea, I was going to mention this anyway. The party led, this is in last week's Times newspaper, the party led by Paul Nuttall is contesting only 48% of seats, according to Conservative Party analysis of the nominations. This is down from 73% in 2013, when UKIP won a record number of local authority seats. The collapse in UKIP's so-called contestation rate is echoed by its falling membership from 47,000 to 34,000. So that gives you an idea. I think UKIP, I think we can safely say, are really the party in meltdown. But where are all those followers, those people that voted UKIP, where are they going to go? That's what you've got to watch. Who are they going to get behind? Is the Conservative Party going to appeal to them? I don't think the Liberal Democrats will. If they're coming from an exit, pro-exit party, there's only one left, really, but that's why I think it's important to reach out to those party that those people for Labour and start moving away from talking about Brexit and start talking about austerity and what it means for the ordinary person in the street, you know, such as jobs, housing, social care, NHS, that sort of thing. They're the issues that matter. Let's not get transfixed too much with what Brexit is all about. And we're going to have to talk about it, but we've got to mention, of course, what means what austerity means, because that's the real issue. That's what's let people down. Okay, well, look, we'll skip the music break. I'm just going to carry on. I'm turning to The Guardian now, and I really want to get this article in because a lot of people mention this to me, and this is what it really is about. And this is what the Conservatives are about as well, really. Young voters have the power now and we must use it. This is an article by Abby Wilkinson that's featured on in today's Guardian. The result of every general election has drastic repercussions. The last Labour government lifted millions out of poverty. Now, let's not forget that. Millions out of poverty. I mean, Tony Blair had his faults, as did Gordon Brown, but millions are lifted out of poverty. Under the Conservatives, much of the progress has been undone. Only to the very wealthy are cushioned from cuts to public services and the erosion of basic employment rights. Now, that's what this new Conservative Brexit will come back and look like. I'm telling you now. But don't come crying to me on the big debate. You voted for it, you can jolly well have it. Still, some of the most damaging policies of all hit more narrowly. The recent cut to housing benefit for 18 to 21 year olds is only expected to affect a few thousand people, but for those individuals it will be devastating. Young people who don't earn enough to pay rent don't tend to move out of their family home without good reason. Homelessness charities are worried that LGBT young people, unsupported by their families, will be forced onto the streets. The young have been a particularly easy target for the Tories. We're less likely to vote than older age groups and are less likely to vote Conservative. They're not worried about losing our support, so they don't really bother trying to appeal to us. Under 25s are excluded from the minimum wage rise. Slashing the education maintenance allowance has made further education unviable for many young people. There are spiralling costs has deterred others from attending university. We're the demographic most likely to be in insecure employment, struggling on zero-hour contracts or similar, something many Conservative MPs believe is actually a good thing. Most young people who voted in the EU referendum opted for Remain, but the government has decided we should shoulder the brunt of the Brexit burden. Liam Fox, the International Trade Secretary, has spoken enthusiastically about further cutting young people's employment rights to attract employers to Britain in harsher post-Brexit economic decline. So that goes back to what I said earlier about having a tax haven here. We will be paying for that tax haven, believe me, the British people. He anticipates a race to the bottom with British people increasingly forced to compete against workers in countries with low wages and poor protections. In truth, Fox has been pushing for similar policies for many years. For him, Brexit is nothing more than an excuse, but that doesn't mean his predictions of economic gloom are spurious. The goal at this point must be blocking the Conservatives. That means voting Labour in constituencies where they have a chance of winning and opting for the Liberal Democrats when it's a simple contest between them and the Conservatives. So what they're advocating there is tactical voting. Kicking out the Conservatives is necessary to avoid disaster and even lessening their majority limits, the damage they can inflict. But Labour policies such as the £10 minimum wage, free higher education and plans to build a million new affordable homes also offer the genuine possibility of something better. There's real disillusionment among the young. How could there not be? But for the demographics do not lie. If young people turn out to vote at the same rate as older age groups, we could hold the balance of power. So, I could go on and on and on, but I think you get the absolute gist of that particular article. I'll carry straight on. Don't worry about me, I'll be fine. You might get used to this, actually, because what would you think, people that are currently in the chat room? Do you know, have you ever seen the David Dimbleby election night coverage? Should we do the same here on the big debate? I'm quite up for it. I'm not sure if my voice is. we could do it. What do you think? Give us some feedback. We could call it as it comes in. We could say, cut it off about when the exit poll is announced, and let you know what we think, who's going to be in government. Okay. Well, look, I'll be almost DJing. Fancy that, eh? Yeah, DJ Judge Jim. It's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it? Yeah, this is I quite like this journalist as well, in The Guardian. The name's Polly Toynbee, and she's a bit of a Corbyn basher at the same time. And this is what she has had to say about today in particular. Corbyn is rushing to embrace Labour's annihilation. This shockingly inept leader will preside over catastrophe. Politics has rarely looked grimmer. And what she's saying is, she makes comment about the Fixed Term Parliament Act was designed to stop prime ministers dashing opportunistically to the polls when momentarily at the peak of their popularity. May can only gain 2/3 of a majority in the Commons if Labour agrees to its own annihilation, which he welcomes. That's in reference to Jeremy Corbyn. May can only gain 2/3 majority of the Commons if Labour agrees its own annihilation, which he welcomes. Will this be the last disastrous disservice he does to his party? Who knows what other clumsy damage he may inflict during the campaign, and afterwards he might not go. Remember Tony Benn celebrating the millions of votes for socialism under Michael Foot's 1983 political suicide manifesto, though Labour had crashed to epic defeat. Fantasy politics reign again when Momentum responds to May's announcement by tweeting about the path to victory for Labour. And it's a good analysis, really, of what's the alternative could have happened today, where the Labour Party could have blocked the general election. And it says she's not criticising anything about what they've said. It's just how they sell it. And she's saying elections are won by the best led party. YouGov finds just 15% behind Corbyn as best leader against May's walloping 49%. Interesting, isn't it, what people perceive about people. This election will be a pure Brexit up to the blood and guts hilt. One paradox is May's belief it will set her free to rule with an estimated 126 majority. It will be her curse. Not captain of her party, but its captive. She will be in the thrall to be a virulent, right-wing, rock-hard set of new Brexit MPs, nasty party, through and through. So there you go. That gives you Polly Toynbee's opinion of what could potentially happen. It seems to be getting the thumbs up. The Pac-Man's come on and joined us in the chat room. Nothing unexpected at David RB. Sounds like a great plan. He wants a David Dimbleby style big debate on the election night. Much rather listen to me than those pendulum plums. I promise I won't drink any alcohol. I'll be totally sober. Why? So my brain works. we could have guests. Could have guests come on and give us their tips if we can get. So imagine the characters we could have on it. Be interesting. The Right Honourable MP for Northolt North, Gary Cooper, come on down. Be interesting, wouldn't it? The Guardian, all the papers are covered in stuff about the election. I won't read that out. They've got wheeled all their people out in The Guardian today, making various comments and whatnot. I'm just going to find Owen Jones in here. He's a bit of a Corbyn basher as well, but sometimes he does make some sense. Here we are. Here we go. Oh, crikey. Right, here we are. Owen Jones. Labour is in deep trouble, but it's our only defence against a Tory landslide. So he's bigging it up. Labour polling is very bad indeed. You can't try to climb a mountain if you are deluded about how high it is. The threat of an early election these past few months should have haunted every moment for Labour's left and its trade union allies. Those of us who wanted a Labour Party that was firmly rooted on the left, on the economy, tax and public services, and that could inspire enough people to vote for it. Now what we must do is unite and do our very best to prevent a Tory landslide that would be calamitous for this country. I mean, I don't have a problem with anything that he's saying there. This referendum is about Brexit above all else. Labour has understandably agonised over losing the minority of its voters who plumped for Leave, not least in its northern heartlands and among older voters who are more motivated to turn out to cast their votes. It must now make a pitch too for the despondent Remainers. Yes, that means reassuring Leave voters that they will respect the referendum result, but the party must pitch for the 48% who voted to remain. Again, these articles are ever so long, but we've got another couple of pundits here. Sonia Sodar, it's a decision made in May's political interests, not in the country's interests. Despite the countless protests we've heard from Theresa May that there would be no early election, perhaps the real surprise is how long it's taken her to make this call. The deeper we go into her premiership, the trickier things will become. There are economic headwinds looming. We're likely to see inflation and the cost of living continue to rise, dampening wages. Hospitals will continue to struggle to cope with increasing demand, and we'll see more stories about schools in Conservative constituencies considering drastic solutions such as opening for 4 days a week as a result of budget cuts. Those are the sort of things that we need to be talking about in this election. That's what we need to be concentrating our efforts on, not just Brexit. We've got to talk about it, but let's not get bogged down by it. Martin Kettle, he said this Theresa May has trashed her own brand. Theresa May in Downing Street sounded like Turkey's authoritarian president, Recep Erdogan. Give me the unfettered authority to secure the Brexit deal I want, she said. Any attempt to stand in my way is disruptive and frivolous. So give me the power to act in the name of the people against Parliament's interference. It's not a nice parallel. May has trashed her own brand. May has acted like a prime minister who can call an election. But there's a small but significant problem with that. She can't. She's subject to the Fixed Term Parliament Act passed by the coalition. Well, she's got that through. But in essence, what he's saying is she's acting like a dictator. And he just makes one final point. An election on the 8th of June will be an election on the existing boundaries, with 650 MPs due to be returned until, in principle, 2022. One minor effect of this decision is that all talk of deselection among Tory and Labour MPs is dead at a stroke. Look, we can't really down-dial this. The left can't afford to down-dial this. They've got to come out fighting. I know the polls are probably against them, but polls have been wrong before. We've got to get out there and sell the fundamental message, what the difference is between us and them. I've got a quick article up here about Vince Cable. He's going to stand for Twickenham. Myra Black, she's going to stand again. She's the SNP from Scotland. She's from Renfrewshire South. She's going to stand again. So you're going to see probably a lot of the old Lib Dems coming out to take their seats back. And I think they could actually achieve that too. So it is a gamble. It's a safe bet, but it's still a gamble what Theresa May has done here on the election, the snap election. You're witnessing history. You'll never see anything like this in your lifetime, I guarantee it. Right, let's go through what we've got. Also, we've got in The Guardian here, we've got MPs say yes or no today, then the work begins. Well, they've said yes. Seemingly so, Jeremy Corbyn has backed the call for a snap election. The Conservatives and Labour together hold 559 of the 650 common seats, which should be enough to easily reach the two-thirds threshold. That's all been taken care of, okay? Okay, now this gives you a bit of a description of the timetable. Now, under Electoral Commission rules, nominations have to be filed by 4 p.m. on the 19th working day before the poll, in this case the 10th of May. In effect, candidates must be in place at least a week beforehand to allow paperwork to be filed. This gives the parties just over 2 weeks to fill any gaps. Some have already been working on this. The Liberal Democrats say they have 400 candidates in place and are ready to go. Labour's National Executive Committee will meet within days to plan candidate selection, a senior source said. Sitting MPs and 2015 candidates are likely to be asked to stand again. When do sitting MPs have to decide if they are standing again? Beyond the 10th of May nomination deadline, the only timetable will be imposed by parties. The 4th of May local elections will be going ahead regardless anyway, with the exception of Manchester Gorton, which was due for a by-election upon the death of the MP Gerald Kaufman at that time. So it's all pretty much good to go from what I can see. There's a quick analysis as well from The Guardian at the front. It says a gamble only in the sense that the risk is ultra low. And it says the standard way of describing a move such as the one Theresa May made yesterday morning is to call it a gamble. A prime minister with a Commons majority and 3 years left to run on a parliamentary term does not throw that away without risk. In that sense, May has gambled, but as gambles go, it's about the surest bet any politician could ever place. The polls show May and the Conservatives stretching so far ahead of their opponents that their lead over Labour is about the same size as Labour's total vote. One survey on Monday showed Labour at 23%, with the Tories on 44%. At that rate, Labour could be on course for a performance worse than their trouncing in 1983. So again, more down dialing from the newspapers. But that's why we're here. The Big Debate offers you the alternative. I think a general election will focus people's minds. I think that gap will narrow, and I think Labour will hold. And I think the Lib Dems will gain. And I hope I am right, that the Conservatives don't reach that majority target of 50 to 100 plus. So that's pretty much me over and done with here at the Big Debate. It's over to you for David RB's Badger set sessions. Take it away, Dave.
Judge Jim's Big Debate on Tracks FM.